In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, the closer our union is with God, the more intimate our relation to Him in this life, the more peace of mind and the greater happiness of soul we shall enjoy. There's a great important truth which must be the anchor of our soul while here on earth. This important truth is that according to the ordinary course of divine providence, we cannot be saved without prayer. In its full extent, this truth means, first, that we cannot be saved unless we fulfill the will of God. Second, that we're unable to do God's will unless we're assisted by God's grace. And thirdly, that we obtain this grace by prayer. Consequently, we must pray in order to be saved. Realizing that prayer is essential for salvation, one main complaint which many may voice concerning prayer is that we never feel that we are getting anywhere. Most of our perplexities about prayer could be resolved if we only truly realize that we pray not because we love prayer, but because we love Almighty God. We do not pray in order to master distractions or because we've told ourselves that we will continue with it. We pray simply in order to please Almighty God. St. Augustine commented on the wonderful power of prayer when he said, "Is there anything more excellent than prayer? Is there anything more beneficial in our life, anything sweeter to the heart, or anything more sublime in our holy religion?" Prayer is the groundwork of all virtues. It's a ladder by which we mount to God. It's the foundation of faith. Since God's view of our prayer is the only one that's worth taking into account, then spiritual consolation or good feelings really don't matter much. Feelings are changeable and give us no good estimate of whether we pray well or not. Good feelings are usually consolations that God gives, which are not earned. We might say that the less feeling we have of it, the better. This is what St. John of the Cross is talking about when he says that darkness in prayer is better than light. Better in the sense of being not only safer for us, but making for a pure prayer in itself. My dearly beloved in Christ, God knows well our limitations and weakness and sees us far more clearly than we see ourselves. Father Hubert Van Zeller points out the simple test of our prayer when he writes, "There's only one test of our prayer. Are we wanting God? Do we want Him so much that we're prepared to go on looking for Him in our prayer, in spite of apparently never getting any nearer to Him?" Upon the answer of this inquiry depends the whole business of our success or failure in prayer. Success and failure to be judged in God's terms, not ours. In short, do we pray for God's pleasure or for ours? My dearly beloved in Christ, perhaps if we look at prayer simply as the lifting up of our minds and hearts to God, talking with God, we would be more likely to engage in it at any time and in any place. Prayer with God is similar to our face-to-face conversations with a dear friend. We do not prepare ourselves in writing to read. We do not prepare everything in writing to read as a discourse when sitting down with our friend. Our conversations with friends are not stiffly structured and laborious, nor are they a burden to us. Sometimes our encounters are unexpected. Nevertheless, we're happy to see him or her and share what's in our heart. When we depart, we do not agonize over whether we converse correctly, whether there were unsolicited distractions, or whether there were beneficial results. We do not stop to measure whether these encounters have increased our friendship or not, and we hardly keep a tally. Somehow in our relationship with God, we seem to make things so complicated. We forget that He's our loving Father and that our conversations with Him should stem from the heart, not only from a formula. My dearly beloved in Christ, when it comes to conversation with God, the devil is ingenious in his efforts to make our prayers seem futile, burdened, and sterile. He chides us by making us think our prayers are worthless because we're tired and yawn, because our minds digress very briefly on pending problems or chores, because we lapse into moments of just sitting there in spiritual dryness, because our attempts to refocus were half-hearted, because we felt that our prayers were boring and were so punctuated by worldly thoughts and imaginations that we didn't get anything out of them at all. Saying then suggests that we should skip them for today, knowing full well that a similar tax will continue tomorrow and tomorrow until we give them up altogether. We should rally ourselves against the devil's temptations by asking ourselves, why do we pray? Though our efforts may have been weak, did we quit and go to bed? Did we quit and go back to the television and computer? Even though discouraged, didn't we go on and complete them? Further, we intend to pray tomorrow morning and evening in spite of any difficulties, because we're doing it to please Almighty God. We're not praying in order to please ourselves. Obviously, we should always strive to pray well, placing ourselves mentally in the presence of Almighty God before we begin, and making an effort to be closely united to Him as we raise our hearts and minds. However, we must also acknowledge our weakness and limitations. Our Lord told His apostles, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." My dearly beloved in Christ, we should ignore the devil's promptings to break all communication with God, telling us that it's such a burden and takes so much time away from our worldly schedule. We should ask ourselves if it's burdensome to meet with a close friend and spend even a few moments conversing with him or her. Would the bond of friendship be able to survive if our conversations were more and more infrequent until months or years lapse? More than likely, our friendship would cool and eventually be forgotten. We owe God so very much more than our dearest friend, for God gives us all, sustains us, and imparts to us His unconditional love. This is found in no other. We need to remind ourselves that we pray not for our own satisfaction or for warm, fuzzy feelings. We do it for God because we love Him. If this is always our motive and we pray from the heart, then our prayer is very pleasing to God. It's never a failure, no matter what the devil may prompt us to think. Through the graces received by prayer, we realize our nothingness compared to Him who is infinite and is our Creator. Prayer helps to make us humble, because by it we realize we can do nothing without God. My dearly beloved in Christ, realizing how much we need divine assistance and how much we owe our Lord, nothing in this world should ever induce us to give up prayer, for it's our very lifeline. It would be as destructive to our soul for us to give up prayer as for a patient in a hospital to cut his IV tube because it's burdensome, or he doesn't at the time feel the benefits of it. When we pray, God expects us to petition Him for what we need, especially for particular and necessary graces. We need to be specific. Christ tells us, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." This, of course, is always considered in the light of God's will. Some people, however, only pray to God when they need or want something. And when they get it, they cease praying. Obviously, they're not praying for God, but for themselves. Likewise, if we recite prayers without thinking of what we are saying and are willingly thinking of other things, then our prayer is not fervent and it's not from the heart. We'd then be among those of whom Isaiah prophesied when he said, "This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." In conclusion, we should never become discouraged by the difficulties associated with prayer. Excessive discouragement is from the devil. We must make prayer a habit. A habit as simple as turning our hearts in love to God for His greater honor and glory. Prayer is learned by repeated acts to the point that our entire life can become a prayer. This is what St. Paul meant when he said, pray without ceasing. And what's meant in last Sunday's sermon of sanctifying the moment. God does not give us the option of whether we want to pray or not. He gives us the command, without prayer, we will not be saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.